What was daily life like for believers in Ephesus? Easier or harder to follow Christ's teaching? Find out as Kenneth Copeland and special guest Rick Renner continue with The Unlimited Power of Christ in You, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into God's Word today. Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You for the Spirit You have sent to us, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And we're open. We open our hearts and our minds to hear from You, sir. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Rick Renner, God bless you, man.
Good to be here.
I think only Gloria knows how much I enjoy you and your ministry.
Thank you.
And your family, too, Denise and the kids. It's just a blessing just to be associated with you for the last 20 years.
Well,
man.
Thank you. That's how we feel about you and your family.
Rick, let's get back in here into the book of Revelation.
All right.
And now, remember this. Keep this in mind, that God did not intend for any born-again believer to be bound and subject and conform to the natural world and its system. You were born out of that. And I'm gonna read that. I quoted it yesterday, but you need to put your eyes on it. So if you have your Bibles with me, why, you open there to the book of Colossians. If you don't, after the broadcast, you go get it and put your eyes on it and read it. Colossians chapter 1. Now, remember, when God blessed Adam, He said, be fruitful and multiply. That's what God's intention was for man, and it never has changed. Jesus got that blessing back. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 10th verse, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. You know, that word translated might means the ability to do anything possible or impossible. It's His might. Mm-hmm. You're not limited to that system anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, how do you activate this? Well, in the next verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that is not after you die and go to heaven.
That's right now.
That is right now. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were taken out of this world's dominating system and put over into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, if you'll seek first that kingdom, all things will be added to you. Amen. So now, you have proven in your life, you're one of those apostles of God that He pulled out of one nation and its way of life and translated you into a totally opposite nation.
Totally.
The USSR.
That's
before
right.
Before it fell.
That's right.
You're there now, 20 years later, and proved. You didn't go in there as an American. You didn't go in there living the United States way of living. You went in there with the kingdom of God way of living.
And you know what, Brother Copeland? I'm really getting something from this today. Because when people move to Russia and they think they're going to move into a new culture and they're going to change the culture, it breaks them. Because you're not going to change the culture. It's too heavy. Likewise, when you come into the kingdom of God, you can't do it your old way. You've got to do it according to the new rules.
Absolutely.
Because you're in a new kingdom, it
Absolutely.
Operates differently.
And the big thing here, God proved with you and your family, your ministry. He didn't put you there. You came out of a prosperous ministry in the United States, and he moved you in there. He didn't put you there, and then you descend to a lower level of living because you were in a communist country, you were in a place where nobody wanted you to be there but God, and you were in a place where ain't nobody got any money, nobody's got any gas, nobody got anything, mm-hmm. and reduced then down to their level of living. No, no, he prospered you right in the middle of that because you were doing the same thing that prospered you here in this country.
You know, Brother Copeland, when we first moved over there and we could see the will of God just prospering all around us. Now, you go outside that circle, and beyond that circle, you would see poverty, you would see hardship, but everything around us was blessed. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, Rick, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, this will happen. Because this is who you are and this is what is in you. This is the effect of the kingdom. And anywhere you go, you will see this ruling effect, whether it's Russia, whether it's China, whether it's Latvia.
Anywhere.
It goes anywhere you go because the kingdom is in you. I have never forgotten the Lord saying that to
me. Well, the missionary idea has been that, well, these are poor people. Rick, I have preached in places where they said, now, Brother Copeland, now, I don't want you to preach that prosperity message here. Why? These people are too poor. Huh? That's where you ought to be preaching it.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out what those pastors and missionaries and so forth didn't know, those people weren't as poor as they thought they were.
Well, in the first place. That is the truth.
Yes, sir.
That is the truth.
And this works, period.
Brother Copeland, when we first started our church in Russia, no one had a car but me and Denise. My church in Moscow, little by little, we are watching their lives change. Now that we've bought a building, the biggest issue is where are we going to get a parking place big enough
to put all
to
the
cars? All the cars.
I love it. That's great.
People are being blessed.
Well, Rick, it happened right here in the United States back in the 70s. Jerry Savelle and I went to the Navajo Nation for a pastor, a Navajo pastor there, and that church. His name is Kenneth Bagishi.
Hmm.
And he had his first faith conference. And Jerry and I went in there and preached. He went out in the middle of that desert there, stuck a sign in the ground that said White Post Church, and just started winning souls, going from one hogan to the next one, testifying, winning souls. Rick, when he started that church, nobody had a car. They either walked, drove a wagon, or rode a horse. By the time we got there, he had a congregation of around right at 300 or a little better. We had a lot more than that in the meeting because they were coming in there from around all the rest of that area. But, I mean, everybody in that church had a car or a truck, and everybody was prospering out in the middle of that desert, and White Post Church became a town.
Wow.
Got their own post office. He just stuck it in the ground out there and just said, this is it. This is where God told me to be. There wasn't a soul in sight. So what God, listen, the reason this is so heavy on me today, and I'm believing it's the point all during this week, is don't be afraid of the United States losing its financial power. Don't be afraid if it just collapses and falls and goes bankrupt and becomes the poorest nation on earth. Don't be afraid of that. Stand against that, but don't stand against it because you're afraid that you'll go broke, you'll be without, you won't be able to eat, because listen, you are the answer to the poverty anywhere, anytime, any place on the earth.
Brother Copeland, I live in a system that fell apart.
And you got there just as it went over the hill.
I mean, people one day were Soviet citizens, the next day there was no Soviet Union. The passport they had one day didn't apply the next day. They no longer had a national hymn. Their currency, they didn't know if they had a national currency. It was a catastrophe on a measure like no fiction writer could have ever written.
True chaos.
And we lived through it.
Because there's nobody knew what to do next, did they?
But the church arose. It became the church's opportunity. And I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Protestant movement especially, in the whole of Russia, has emerged as one of the strongest streams in the entire nation. And after the Orthodox Church, we are now the second largest group in the whole nation, bigger than the Muslims. And the works that the Protestant Church does is amazing because they're givers, they're believers, and honestly, they have been affected by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
Isn't that, it's a glaring example, and Rick, I know. I'm not just supposing that. I know that that's why God did what he did with you and put you in there. You are in that place because God wanted his testimony.
I believe that.
I believe that with all my heart.
I believe that.
So, let's get in here in the book of Revelation, because we're listening to how God did this in the lives of these people, particularly John. My. But everywhere these people went, the system couldn't handle them.
Couldn't extinguish them.
No.
They tried.
And I don't care how big the system was. Rome? Greece?
They outlived Rome.
Yeah. They couldn't handle them. And that's the reason they got so afraid of. That's the reason this Babylonian mess that we're in right now in this 21st century, this socialistic mire that tries to government just be God and all of that. And instead of helping anybody, all it does is make a few politicians rich. But then they usually die young when they get into that. But that's the reason they'd give anything in the world to get rid of us. That's the reason they'd just do anything they can to get this message out of the public square. But they can't get it out. It's already here.
Of course.
They can't handle us. Amen. They put us all in jail, and the jail gets saved. The jail prosper. It's already happening in a lot of places.
It is.
So,
all right.
It's your turn.
All right. So Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to look very quickly at verse 10. John was in the Isle of Patmos. And John says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, then we're going to quickly go to verse 11. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And we saw that the words was is the Greek word genomai, which really would be better translated, I came to find myself. I don't know how it happened. And by the way, I think this is an important point, because John didn't sit down that day and say, I'm going to force myself to have a spiritual experience. John was living his life, living in that cave on the Isle of Patmos, doing what every believer does, probably praying in the Spirit, believing God, when all of a sudden, genomai, something happened that totally took him off guard, and John found himself in spirit. And as we saw last week, the word thee, the definite article, is not in the Greek. And this word spirit is lowercase. So it really means, I came to find myself in another dimension. Another dimension. And then he says, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Of course, Alpha is the beginning of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the end of the alphabet. It was the equivalent of saying, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm everything in between. Jesus describing himself.
I started this and I'll finish it.
And I'll finish it, and there's nothing in the middle without me.
I like it.
And then he says, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Well, in Asia, there were more than 1,000 cities. And there were many more than seven churches. I could give you a list of churches that are mentioned in the book of Acts in Asia. But these were the seven churches. Jesus chose these seven churches. And of course, the question arises, why these seven? If there were 1,000 cities and there were churches in Galatia, churches in Phrygia, and churches in the whole region, why these seven? And let's look at the seven. Send into the seven churches which are in Asia. He begins with unto Ephesus, then unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. That's seven churches. Well, we know the first church in Asia Minor was the church of Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about in Acts chapter 18 when Paul left Cenchrea, which was a port city on the east side of Corinth. He got on his ship with Aquila and Priscilla. He sailed to the city of Ephesus. And, you know, Brother Copeland, he had probably waited his whole life to go to Ephesus. Ephesus was an illustrious city. It was considered the intellectual center of all of Asia Minor. And from Ephesus...
Now, where is that from Antioch?
It's north.
Okay.
It's north of Antioch. But Ephesus, there was a road which was called a circular road. It was actually a postal road, and it was round. Just like the city of Moscow has a big circle road that goes around the city. Well, if you start at one point and follow the road, eventually you'll end up where you started. Well, this road started in the city of Ephesus. And if you went north, guess what? You came to Smyrna. If you kept following the road, you came to Pergamos. Then it took you to Sardis, then to Thyatira. Then it took you to Philadelphia. Then it took you to Laodicea. And if you kept following the road, it led you back to Ephesus. So you end where you started.
So actually, by doing that, you touched every church
on the road.
Yeah, all the way around. Wow.
So the leading of the Holy Spirit to start all these churches was just follow the road. I mean, sometimes we make it complicated when we just need to follow the road.
Yeah.
But these particular seven churches were located in the most pagan of all cities. Ephesus was pagan, pagan. The city of Smyrna was dominated by the goddess Sibyl. The goddess Sibyl and the rituals of that religion are so dark that when I wrote my book, the editor said, "You cannot put this in this book. You will suddenly turn this into an X-rated book. No Christian parent will ever want their 12-year-old child to read what you just wrote." I had to remove it from my book. It was such a foul, foul religion. Then you go to the city of Pergamos, where Jesus said, "I know where you live, where Satan's seat is." That's the word throne. And so Satan was ruling in the city of Pergamos. Thyatira, filled with the occult, and on and on and on. These were the most demonic, pagan-infested, darkest cities probably in the entire Roman Empire. And Asia kind of had an Eastern concoction with their religion, which made it darker and even more exotic.
Yeah.
And so when Paul first came to Ephesus and began to launch his ministry, and we can read about it in Acts chapter 19. We ought to read that. It's really something else. He preached in the school of Tyrannus. And from the school of Tyrannus, right there in the middle of Ephesus, the Bible says the name of the Lord Jesus was glorified in all of Asia. And Paul chose not the easiest cities. He selected the most demonic, hardest to penetrate cities, and that's where he dispatched his leaders to start the church, proving if it can be done here, it can be done anywhere. And those churches thrived.
That's the way the anointing on him worked.
He did.
You remember Jesus told the man that went over there to lay hands, told him go over there and lay hands on him, receive his sight and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "He has been shown what he must suffer for my name's sake." So Jesus didn't send him into the mouth of the lion without him knowing about it, without him agreeing to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I went to the Lord, I said, Why? Well, what was the reason of your thinking behind that? He said, "I needed a man that would go into the field and prove that my covenant works for my name's sake." And the Apostle Paul stood up against everything Satan could throw at him. And in the final hour, he allowed himself to be martyred.
Yes, that's right.
He did. They did not just come get him and whack his head off. No, he said, I'm ready to go.
He said, well, I'm ready.
Yeah, well, why would he do a thing like that? He knew the scripture. He knew the word. He could have just surrendered and the Lord would take him out of here. He finished his course. Well, there's a higher rank of reward if they martyr you, so he just got the best deal he could get and said, okay, now you can have my head. So, but that it's important to know this about these men of God. That's the reason he sent you into that and dealt with you before he sent you in there.
This is like when we moved to Moscow, people said, nobody can do this in Moscow. People can't build a church in the middle of Moscow. And you know why they couldn't build a church in the middle of Moscow? Because they said they couldn't build a church in the middle of Moscow.
Yeah.
And Denise and I said, come on, give it to us. We're ready.
Now, this is something else, too. Everybody is not called to be in that kind of tribulation.
No, they're not.
And the reason some are is so you don't have to. We see what the Apostle Paul went through and how he was delivered from all of these trials and tribulations so that we can look at these things and the devil can't touch us with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I must be just like Paul. I'm just suffering for his namesake. Well, no, you ain't just like Paul suffering for his namesake. So get yourself up and get on the Word of God and believe your way through there and get out of that mess. And find out where you are supposed to be.
And shine.
Yeah. Amen. Be what you're supposed to be. Glory to God. Man, well, I preach myself happy.
That's good.
Praise God. Amen. How much time we got, Tim? Oh, we're out of time.
All right.
So, Brother Rick and I'll be back in just a moment. It's a thrill. Come here and minister in this place.
We're excited just to be here and to experience it.
And we come with great expectations and we know we won't be disappointed. We never are. And the understanding of the Word of God and who God wants us to be, because it's so awesome to me. I'm just excited about it.
Our job is to represent the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of supply, the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of healing, the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of the goodness and the wonders of heaven in this broken earth. We represent that kingdom.
Church, we got it made, but we just have to do it God's way. And we have to walk in love. And we don't hold anything against anybody. If you want to live long and you want to live strong and you want to be blessed while you're here, who wants to live long and be strong and not be blessed? But living long, living strong, and being blessed, that's worthwhile.
Half the reason I come is not just for the teaching. It's to worship with people who want to worship. There is such freedom and such power and you just feel changed on the inside. I do.
When everyone's joined in together and worshiping, the Holy Spirit is just alive and well, and you can really sense the presence of God.
You think you just need me. No. Of course you need me, but I need you. I need you full of my glory. I need you full of faith. I need you healed and well. I need you strong in the Word, strong in the Spirit, and I need you strong in your health, and I need you rich.
I've listened to Miss Gloria for years and years teach on this, and it seems like every year that she does healing school that she's got something new and fresh.
God gets no glory from your sickness and disease.
My fingers were stiff, and the pain was shooting up my arm here. It's gone.
Look
in
that.
Jesus' name. Praise God. No
there.
Pain. No pain. We serve a great
Glory
God.
Glory to God. That's our Savior. He has not gone on strike. He has not taken a vacation. He has been on the job and is on the job in your life today. He is your healer.
I feel refreshed, and I feel like I have been immersed to last me for the rest of the year.
Words of encouragement that came were so uplifting, and just, I mean, it's like, that's what we needed.
It's just been awesome.
A light in darkness, seven messages to the seven churches, which you just read in the book of Revelation. And the more I handle this, the more I find out about it, the more I realize what a treasure it is. And Rick was talking to me earlier, his guide, that the God would just put him with people that not only knew what they were talking about, but people that had authority to take him places where nobody else could go. Would you like to go to so-and-so's tomb? Would you like to go see this place where nobody can go? And of course, Rick says, yes, thank you very much. And got pictures of it, and praise God.
Documented all
of it. I mean, it is just absolutely a treasure of treasures, and I am so thrilled with it. And like I said, I'm not all the way through it yet. I'm still reading and still haven't had it but a few days. And it is a blessing. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
For this work. And thank you, Rick, for obeying God.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Now, hey, listen. Southwest Believers Convention this year, July the 4th through the 9th in Fort Worth. Now, you got to be here. I'm telling you. well, you understand? You got to be here. Amen. This is total immersion time in the Word of God. And you just sink yourself into that Word, and it will just weed out all the mess from the surrounding world and its problems and all of that. And you come out of there with a strong faith, hope, and love. And it works. Praise God. You need to plan to be there. You believe God and He'll get you there. Now, go to kcm.org and you can get all the things that you need there. And besides that, there's a lot of things in there you need. You've got a prayer team waiting on you every day. I mean every day. So learn how to take advantage of that website. Now, Rick is going to be back here tomorrow. You're going to be back here tomorrow. And we've got some really, really exciting things for you to see. Until then, remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.